Extra Points is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. It must be 21 years or older.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode. Extra Points presented as ever by Omaha. I hope your sports week is going well. One thing's for sure, not going as well as the week of Sarah Tiana, the roastest with the mostest, the Southern Belle of ball busting, has proven that she belongs at the very pinnacle of roasting other human beings. Witness the jokes that she helped to write, told by Bill Belichick, Gronk, and all the rest of them on the Tom Brady roast. Sarah Tiana, congratulations, and how are you?
Man, I'm good. I'm like, my feet are finally, the swelling has gone down in both my feet and my ego.
Wait, I think the feet wrote the jokes?
Yeah, my feet wrote the jokes. That's how I type. Yeah.
You're like, so Daniel Day-Lewis.
Not fast. Yeah, yeah. It's not
for
fast.
Comedy.
But, you know, it's the effort. I got my swag on, my Tom Brady roast swag.
Ooh, you didn't swipe one of those for your old pal Dave?
Yeah. They had like our names on them and every, like, they actually gave us two. They gave us a black one too.
So ooh, nice. And the old man got that one, right? He must be in heaven. Why your old man, Chris Brockman, Patriots lover. He must, people around the Patriots, some figures were a little wounded by the jokes that we're told. I want to talk about all of this. I want to talk about what's going on in the world of sports, but I really think that the Tom Brady roast is at the top of the headlines in sports this week, the fallout from it, the quality of it. The reviews have been phenomenal. The one bit of intrigue that's emerged from it is Tom Brady getting up to say to Jeff Ross at some point after he cracked wise about Bob Kraft, Brady said, "Don't say that again." Was that scripted? Was that a bit, or was that a sincere moment?
No, it wasn't scripted. To me, and like what we all felt on stage after, it was just like Brady's way of being like, I object. You know what I mean? It's like a lawyer situation. It wasn't malicious. He wasn't mad at Jeff. Like, he was just like, bro, chill, you know, like that's all it was. It's like if someone's doing roast jokes about a girl that you had sex with years ago, like making fun of a girl that you hooked up with, but your new girlfriend is in the room. You're like, dude, like, she doesn't need to hear that. And that's really like all it was. And I mean, Kraft laughed at it. Like, everybody was fine. Everybody was fine. But it was like, I mean, he also chased Gronk around when he talked about his sisters, and he had a yellow flag for some of the jokes for like Peyton or something. I don't even know. But like, yeah, I mean, it was just like everyone was, it was live. So everyone was just like doing their thing, you know, just living in the moment.
Yeah. I mean, my sense was that that wasn't some bit. There wasn't any payoff to the bit. Made no sense. So that was, that was weird though, that Brady was, like you say, it's not like he carried on about it. He didn't go up and slap anybody across the face, Will Smith style. It is funny that we learned that lesson, at least, that I guess football people are a little more rugged. You can crack wise about them, but Will Smith, Hollywood A-listers, not that they're a little more delicate, I guess, is what we've learned.
Well, I think, you know, football players make fun of each other all the time in the locker room. And we just get to, we don't really get to be a part of that. And I felt like that moment to me, you could see Brady, you got to see a side of Tom Brady off the field, but that one moment with Jeff was kind of like Tom Brady on the field, like, don't, like yelling, even if it didn't make sense, you know, just like asserting dominance, you know. But also, he was just starting to get lubricated, and then he finally like relaxed. It was kind of like we got everything out of the way, and then he could kind of relax and just settle in. And it's like, now then the words don't hurt as much by the eighth time. Like by the eighth Giselle joke.
Was he post Super Bowl getting off the boat level drunk?
No, I don't know. Nah, he didn't seem like it. He was very slowly drinking tequila, but he was very nervous. I mean, it's a very nerve-wracking experience. You don't know what's going to be said. I mean, it's like before a big game, you know, you feel prepared, but you still have to call audibles and you have no idea what's really going to happen. And you're just hoping everything's fine. I mean, he knew the Giselle jokes were coming. Like he knew what, you know, I had given him jokes to say in the moment if he needed them, you know? So he was very aware, you know, that was on the table.
Okay. So there's a playbook. There's a game plan going into the big game. How aware is Tom Brady of the specifics? How many of those jokes did he vet, or was it a complete surprise?
No, he doesn't get to vet any of the jokes. He doesn't get to see anybody else's set. No one gets to see each other's set because we want everyone to be genuine. We want your genuine reactions throughout the show.
Oh, I agree. But I also, like, I'm Tom Brady and I'm worth $1 billion. And if you go too far on, I don't know what, and you ding that, then I'm going to not be very happy about that. So like he's like, say whatever you want. We'll just edit it out and post, or what?
There's no post.
I mean, I know it's live, but I mean, well, what about that? I did see that Kim Kardashian was lifted.
Was she?
I don't know. I haven't gone back to see if they bumped her out.
I think they edited it down to under 3 hours because they would have had to pay us more money if it was over three.
Oh, interesting note. So Brady is, he's a good enough, he's an open enough cat that he's like, I'll take whatever you throw my way.
I can't even explain to you how amazing he was to work with. And by the way, every time we Zoom call with him, he had been watching another roast. So he watched all the roast. Like, he's very aware of what a roast is. He was a student. He watched all the film. He studied well before. He came in on Tuesday. So, you know, like the Tuesday before the roast, he came in for 3 hours to meet with us, sat down at the table for like hour and a half, read through the script, you know, that like crying, laughing, like first, everything. He's like, oh my God. Like, so he knows if he's telling these jokes, other people have jokes just like this about him. So that lets you know mentally, like, if I'm coming for them, they've come for me. And it kind of just helps your brain like associate what is to be expected and what is coming. And then it was just a matter of moving jokes around, piecing them like, no, I don't want to do this, or I don't want to talk about this person like that. I'd rather say this. It's like, oh, I don't want to make fun of this fan base. I'd rather do this fan base. You know what I mean? Like, I really want to, you know, attack groups of people who constantly come out of me after me. And that was great because no one was really doing that. No one was just going after Baltimore or Kansas City or Philadelphia as a city. So it was pretty great.
When he walks into the room, are you starstruck at all? You've met, any number of big time celebrities and athletes and everything else, but Tom Brady sort of cuts a transcendent figure.
Yeah. I mean, because it's also just, you know, I don't really get starstruck by actors and actresses or anything, but athletes, I'm like, oh, you have talent, like real tangible talent. And I can remember meeting Derek Jeter early on when I was waiting tables and just being like, or like Cal Ripken and being like, oh my God. And then Brady walks in a room, you're so thrown back because he's also beautiful and like humongous.
And he's 6'4". The thing people don't realize humongous about Tom Brady is he is a tall drink of water, a handsome devil when you're in his company. He's a big guy.
But then he puts you at ease because he's like, hey, like shakes your hand, shakes everyone's hand. You know, after the show, he's walking backstage. I just happened to be back there. All the other writers were somewhere else. And he like locks eyes with me and he just like gives me like a, was that okay? And I'm like, dude, you fucking crushed it. You know, like I'm so proud of you, you know, and he just gave me the longest hug. Like everyone's standing around. I'm like, no one has this on camera. And I'm so sad. But he gave me like a 10-second hug and was just like, thank you so much. Like, I'm so glad that it went well and that everyone's happy. He's like, I'm exhausted. You know, I think he was just so mentally taxed by the, you know, leading up to it. And then you're finally done and you're like, oh, okay. Oh, I'm so glad
you,
that's over.
Or does it hurt your feelings then to hear that Giselle has since said that she was disappointed by the tenor?
No, it doesn't hurt my feelings. She was making out with her boyfriend in public on Valentine's Day. Like, you opened yourself up for that. And, you know, in a divorce, you get half. So you get half the jokes, lady. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, okay. No. Kids are off limits. Like legit, like statistically across every roast, no one goes after kids. Like, that's just like, it's not, no one even has to say it out
Mafia
loud.
Mafia rules.
Yeah. Like, we just like, don't, it's just one of those things. It's like, don't even write it. It's not going to go in. Nobody does that. Like, the kids are off limits, you know, unless your kid is like a really public figure and an idiot, you know.
It's not to
Talia. It's like, if we're roasting Tom Hanks, we're going to go after Chet. You know what I mean? But like, when your kids are under, you know, like, no. So like, that's really the only thing. But she's also a public figure. It would have been very weird. And people kept saying and commenting like, oh, comedy's back. They finally, these people are allowed to say whatever they want, which is just like the most tired, boring premise. Like, you can always say whatever you want. There are just repercussions. And Netflix statistically never gives anyone notes. They never go, you can't do that joke here. Now, when you're dealing with a network and a cable company on Comedy Central, there are certain things you can't say because they'll get fined by the FCC.
Right.
Netflix is different. They've, you know, for years have allowed comedians to say whatever they want, however they want. You know, so comedy has not been dead, you know, and this roast was just more of an example of like how a roast can be when you're not tied to FCC regulations, when you're like,
so you feel, so you collectively, all of you, I mean, Jeff Ross, obviously Roastmaster General and all of that. You guys feel that you're cut loose a little bit more than you have been at Comedy Central or otherwise?
Yeah, the only thing that you're ever kind of restricted by are mentioning brands, you know, like you can't really say Hertz, you know, like Brady's a, you know, rep of Hertz. And so was OJ. Like, we were making all these different OJ. There were a lot of OJ comparisons between Brady, you know, Northern California boy. You know,
they're really the same guy in a lot of ways.
Yeah, kind of. It's just that Brady wasn't good in college, but
yeah, Brady didn't win any Heisman, so yeah. Orenthal's got one over on him, right?
Yeah, so no, there were never any, like, no one ever came in and said, guys, we can't do this, we can't talk, like, no, never. And like, Comedy Central only had to do that because you weren't allowed to say certain words on the air, and you definitely weren't allowed to talk about certain brands. But everything else, like, they still said I wouldn't F you with B. Arthur's, you know what I mean? Like, they still did that on that.
Yeah, maybe the greatest, is that the most famous roast joke ever? I wonder if Glasser or anybody else trumped the greatest jokes in roast history and made the short list. Okay, first of all, though, before we talk about anybody else's and anybody else's performance, Sarah Tiana, what jokes were yours? That's what we need to do. That's the first thing. Let's celebrate you. I said on -3 at the start of the week, not to have a chip on my shoulder, but, you know, the celebration about how hysterical Bill Belichick is. And he was very funny delivering those jokes. But as a reminder, they're writers. These people did not sit around. Bill Belichick didn't hammer those things out 30,000 feet in the sky on his way to L.A. for the roast. Somebody else was giving him a little bit of help. Anyhow, what help did Sarah Tiana provide Belichick?
So this is what was so crazy about this roast compared to other roasts. Normally on other roasts, they're like, go write jokes about Bill Belichick. And we all go to our different offices and we write jokes. Then we all convene, we put them on a board, we read them, we bold the ones we like, and those go in a bank. This roast, we wrote everything together as a group in the room. And then, so like, we're going through like Bledsoe's joke, you know, Bledsoe is the first person to send in to like say yes and like be on board. We were we wrote his script together. There were six of us at the time. There were six of us. We wrote his script. We started him with the 9/11 premise of, you know, that fateful day, two jets slammed into me. You know, we started him with that premise. And then he, you know, like many of you, I remember where I was at work. You know, like we had all this long run, you know, and to where like he doesn't know that 9/11 actually happened because he was knocked out and in the hospital, and he doesn't understand why we invaded Iraq. But every year in New York, they celebrate his number by putting a number 11 straight up to the sky, you know, like all this stuff. And he didn't want to do it. We're like, all right, well, we're going to save that idea. And like, the only other person who can do this is Brady. And Brady was like, yeah, sure. So most of the one thing about Bledsoe is like, he really wanted to talk about Tom's yellow Jeep. That was like this, you know, like people get into things and they go, this is what I want to talk about. And you're like, all right. Like he was like, he had a yellow Jeep. He was so gay. We were like, okay. You know, like when somebody really is passionate about something and like it matters to them, then you have to find a way to make it funny. And so I don't remember how the room made it, but it was like, you know, I'm not saying Tom Brady's gay, but he did me, you know, like out of a job. But so like a big one that I think people really liked was I had a joke about for Kevin Hart about Jeff Ross dressing as OJ, you know, but that day Jeff Ross only mourned the death of a waiter, someone else to bring him food. And then God, I definitely had some jokes in for Peyton. He ended up keeping a couple and dropping a couple, but like, I think the one was like, when I think of Gronk, I think of first. He's the first ballot Hall of Famer. He's the first person to this many yards. And by the looks of him, his parents were first cousins. That was one of mine. it's like so hard because we wrote so many. I mean, all the Kansas City 14-year-old girls, that was mine. Sorry, Kansas nice. City for Brady.
Know what? I swear, we should have played that game. Dang, I wish we would have played that game because that would have been the joke. If you would have said, identify the Tiana jokes, that would have been the one I would have guessed for you. Dang, I wish we would have played that game. Blame Eddie Spaghetti for not mentioning that. That is a good idea for a game.
There were so many that I just loved that didn't make it. You know, like a lot of people think all football players are dumb, but it's really just Gronk. I really loved the idea, the premise that, did anybody do the debate club joke about, Randy Moss? I don't remember. Cause I was like running back and forth. Randy Moss wanted to be in debate club in West Virginia. Their first debate was, should we allow Black people in debate club? So that was one that I really loved, and that like Randy Moss would have done well during Deflategate because he's from West Virginia. He's never played with a fully inflated ball. Those are ones that in my mind where I'm like, where is this going to go? We have to find. There were some jokes that I didn't write that were my favorite, which was Gronk sustained a lot of injuries over the years, mostly from motorboating the jugs machine. That was one of my favorites that didn't make it. Sam Day during the Boston Marathon mourned the loss of a pressure cooker. That was one that I thought was funny. It was kind of like a, yeah. So there were just a lot. There were so many. And again, this roast, there were 15, 16 people roasting. So like, you know, it was double the amount of work. Luckily the comedians write all their own stuff. They hire their own people. They write all their own stuff. So that gets taken off of our plate. So we don't have to do Jeff or Nikki or Andrew, Tony. We did write for Dana White, but not Tony, of course. And then, Sam J, like they all did their own and we did everybody else.
Let me squeeze in a quick break here.
You know, when the conversation turns Stampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up, OmahaFull. The word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
As someone who's been close to it, a vet of the roasts and such, do you have a win, play, show, the greatest roasters of all time?
Greatest roasters of all time? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I mean, Jeff is always my favorite because I think Jeff is just so consistent and, you know, he also, I mean, he's my first boss and like my last boss, you know, like he's everything. I mean, then I would say Geraldo and then I would say Nikki. Like Nikki is just like the amount of, right? The amount of jokes per second that that Nikki gets out, like it's insane. Like she'll tell a joke and then say another one under her breath that makes sense for that joke. Like, it's like the most jokes per hour, you know, if of any comedian. And it's a real skill. And you can tell how prepared she was. I mean, she probably had that memorized and didn't even need the prompter. Like she'd been working on it for so long. And so, yeah, that's by far my top three.
Okay. Last question, I guess, is who's next? The success everybody is talking about, like, well, obviously it's the dawn of a new day and now we have to do this. Shaq famously had a great roast. What, like, what was that? Like 2001, 2002-ish, somewhere in that range. So who would make sense, but also would submit to it? And also, like, it's really got to be a certain kind of a person, right? I mean, because there have been roasts of people who are inherently unlikable, and those don't necessarily work because you walk into the room understanding, like, it might be satisfying to hear this person get buried, but there isn't an undercurrent of affection existing.
No.
Like, they have to be a good, right. you have to kind of like the person, right?
Yeah, there's a reason you only roast the ones you love, because if you don't, the jokes just become mean. You know, like in that Ann Coulter, you know,
sure. right.
thing, it's like people are just calling her, let's see you next Tuesday. And like, that's not entertaining. You know what I mean? And it's not even entertaining for her. They're like, why isn't she laughing? I'm like, because no one's told a joke yet.
Yeah. And it's not, but it's not even like the sacrificial lamb thing, like going mm-hmm. after, it's not like the punching up thing isn't exactly mm-hmm. the goal. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't want to bury people that are on hard times, because that's low hanging fruit. You want to punch above your head to do it. But of course, a lot of the people over your head are creeps. And so you have to get yeah. somebody who is both likable, but you know, there's material there to work off of. And I think there's material to work off of with any human being, right?
Yeah, for sure. And like, that's the other thing. It's like when you're booking people on these roasts, you know, like they're like, well, what about this person? And I'm like, but what's the angle? Like, what jokes are you going to make about them? That they were in a movie? Like, that's not interesting, you know? So,
yeah, you would think Tom Brady would make some sense. When I heard of this roast, I'm like, all right, great, good, you know, good, another job for everybody. Good. I'm glad to hear it. Going to be a lot of avocado ice cream jokes and otherwise. Like, that's where my mind went. It's going to be, you know, the rough edges are going to be sanded down and everything. And obviously it was anything but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So congratulations on that. That you guys that's
part of what made him and does make him the GOAT. And it's funny because afterwards I'm with Gronk, you know, cheersing, like congratulating, and I'm like, how do you feel? He's like, oh, it's amazing, it was so much fun, I can't believe that it was so long but it didn't feel like it. And I go, what do you think about Brady doing all those jokes? He goes, I love it. He's like, that's why we won so many championships, because this guy's not afraid to do anything, and he always steps into the spotlight even when people crap on him for like hours and hours and hours, and he's like, all right, I'll just bring it home. Like, it really was the, like, when Gronk said that, I'm like, yeah, it does make sense. Like, he's hyper competitive. He wanted to win the roast. And I think he did.
That's so amazing. Yeah, that's a great tale from Gronk. Yeah. He's,
yeah.
Right. He's, yeah. Right. He's got a great sense about him, Gronk. Right. I mean, that's why I think why Brady and Gronk sort of have a weird synergy, that what matters to the two of them, they're able to connect on. Yeah. Go ahead.
They are very, Gronk is very aware of his brand and who he is. You know, like he famously turned down Ohio State and Clemson because he wanted to go to Arizona State, where he could, you know, because he liked the atmosphere. Like, yeah, okay. Anyway,
he went to Woody High. He went to Woodland Hills in my backyard in Pittsburgh. Really? Yes, that's an important chapter of him becoming Gronk is spending a little time on the banks of the Three Rivers with real people, you see.
He was great. You know, Belichick was great. There's like this, and Kim was great to me, Kardashian. Like, I know she got booed, but like, I kind of feel like the Kardashians are kind of like the royal family. Like, they're just like immediately booed because people don't really know what their job is. They're like, why are you here? You're just like beautiful and famous. And so we had sent her a script.
What'd she look like in person? What she gorgeous. Like to experience is it it's but like, does she seem real looking?
Very much. She is also very aware, and she also remembers you. If she's met you once, she remembers you. And she'd be like, oh, how's your dad? Is he okay? Yes,
I love that. Like, that's the best thing about people who have that trick in their bag are winsome forever, right?
Superpower. And so we sent her this script that was kind of, you know, like about being rich, you know, and like, we had this one joke in there that I really loved and I still wanted her to do is like, you know, to all my Skims fans out there, we hear you, we've gotten your emails, we've decided to change the name of our Red Skims to the Commanders. So that was like one of my favorites that like didn't make it in. And we wrote her this whole script just about being rich, kind of, and like being a role model for women, but like in a funny way. And then she sent back her own that was like making fun of her dad who cut his wiener off, making like giving an OJ reference. Like all we were like, what? Like it was a dream come true. You know what I mean? And then it was the exact same thing with Belichick. It's like you want to send them something that won't scare them away. So you're kind of like, I don't want to give you just a ton of hard job. We can go harder, but I have to just like lightly dip our toe in, make sure you're okay with this. And then we can go from there. And Belichick, he said no for like 4 weeks. And then he finally like said yes. And then he was all in. Like he was.
Why do you think he relented? Was it the quality of the jokes? You kept sending him material?
We weren't sending him anything. We hadn't sent him anything. I think he just like, he was like, no, it's Brady's day. I don't want to. I think it was more just like out of respect. Like, no, this is his thing. He doesn't want his coach. You know what I mean? Like, it was kind of, you know, like, do you want your dad at your prom? You know, like, it's kind of, you know, their relationship was not bros. Like, they're not like friends.
No.
You know, they're coworkers and one is your boss. And so it's like, I know he's not your boss anymore, but it's still going to feel like that. Right. And so, you know, I think it was just Bill being very well aware of that. And then we talked to him some more and we sent him some stuff. And then he is just like giggling like a schoolgirl, like all these jokes. And then we're like, you know, there'll be stuff about you and like, you can sit up there or not sit up there. And he's like, yeah. So we just decided to like, we originally wanted to have Kevin Hart up at the podium about to introduce someone else. And then the lights go out and you just hear a dong, the Undertaker music. And then Belichick just appears behind Kevin Hart. But he was like, nah, like he didn't want all the bells and what, you know, like he very, very much Bill, like he just wanted to just like come out and be a surprise. But I was sitting back there with him for the whole hour because Peyton hadn't gotten there yet. And
you
so,
make small talk?
Oh yeah. Like
what? What do you talk to Bill Belichick about?
I just say like, what do you think? And he's like, good. It's really good. It's really good. Can't believe it. Like, so he's just like, couldn't believe like the scale of the production and how big it was, you know? And,
but you keep it light enough. Like you don't go like, hey, I'm from Atlanta and I'm a Falcons fan and I think we should have hired you. What do you think about all that blank?
Yeah. No, I didn't go, why'd you take Malcolm Butler out of the Super Bowl? Like, I didn't, it was like, it's a party. We're all having a good time. I'm trying to keep his spirits up before he goes out. And, but you didn't have to, you just like, he just was watching. Cause like we had this big artist lounge in the back. I'm sorry. Can you hear my dogs barking? Mm-hmm.
That's a tribute to Belichick. Remember when Belichick let his dog do the draft that one year?
Oh, that was such a great joke by Jeff Ross. Like, how Brady was finally drafted 199th when Bill Belichick's dog accidentally stepped on the keyboard. Such a good joke. Oh, that was my joke, was the rescuing Randy Moss from the Raiders, the rescue dog joke. That was mine. He was just, we were all sitting in the artist lounge, which is where the prompter was, where you could go make prompter changes. So I felt like I lived in that room. And, it's also where hair and makeup, but like so much stuff was going on. And then like, that's kind of where all the writers were, because once the show started, we didn't have to be out there anymore. Normally we're running back and forth, you know, like, you know, checking in with our dais members who were producing, like just making sure that they don't need anything. Do they want a different, you know, like anything? We couldn't do that because it was live. So we were kind of off work by the time the show started. So we're just back there with the special guests, which is Belichick. And then I think Affleck came in and then Peyton came in, but he was a surprise. So we had to kind of hide him. And
if you could, I hope you got a picture of you with the quintessential for me that I've always said, it's the one that was like the most Hollywood moment that I could ever have was at the Man Show. I walked up to the craft services table, and as I approached, there were two juggy girls. You remember the girls who jumped on trampolines, two little men, and Gary Busey. and they were all talking, and I was like, boy, you can't beat this. This is it. This is the Hollywood experience. But if you could get in a makeup chair or in the makeup room at one time, Belichick, Kardashian, Affleck, and Jeff Ross, that would have to be it. I don't think you could top that. These yeah, that four was... again? Right.
Just another Sunday, just a regular old Cinco de Mayo at the Forum. Yeah, it was a pretty surreal moment just to be there with Coach, you know, and like,
was he just drunk? Like all, how drunk, who got more drunk, him or Kardashian or both?
Oh, I don't know. Cause Kardashian sat in the crowd.
Oh,
so
she did.
She didn't come in through there. And like, I think Kevin Hart had that joke about she only enters through the locker room anyway. Like she hasn't seen the Forum before. Did he do that?
There's like you said, the prom. Mm-hmm. You said it's like the so like are there weird hookups like that you didn't expect? Like it was like Belichick, like whoa, you see the old man making inroads with Kardashian no. over there. Nothing like that.
Not that I know of. No. I mean, I think Belichick didn't do that. We wrote a joke for him to just tell Kim that he's single again. Wait, I don't think he did that. He might still have a girlfriend anyway. Belichick wanted to do jokes about Matt Light and Amendola. Like we didn't have any of that in his script because it's, you know, everybody only gets a certain amount of time. And like, that's why most of the athletes didn't really make fun of the comedians that were there because there just wasn't time. And we don't need to see Edelman making fun of Sam Jay. Like we want to hear Edelman talking about his teammates and like Brady can do a joke about everybody, but like even for him for time, like we just didn't have the time. And so, yeah, there wasn't, I didn't see anything, but I wasn't invited to the after party. So I don't know. I know Drew Bledsoe ended up coming to the Comedy Store till like 3 a.m. with his brothers who also helped him write a script. And like, we would get these scripts from him through like once a week. And he's like, sorry, I've had a couple glasses of wine with me and my bros.
That's
like,
his so whole thing, like, sitting around wine in it, right?
It's like, so like just... like typos, you know. I think I had a joke about Gronk, you know, he also has a wine, but it's made with date grapes. Like, there were just like so many jokes left on the table because there just wasn't time. And then it was hard to even keep track. I usually keep track in my own document of jokes that I write, but we were just sitting in a room pitch, you know, because one person says one thing and then that makes your mind like they do a setup and then everyone starts doing punchlines. And so and then that punchline, like Brady doesn't want to do that punchline. So then you're all pitching alts to the punch to the setup. And so it's really in the like, but Ray James and Mike Ferrucci really crafted Brady's rebuttal to make it that, you know, I'm good at this too. I'm Tom Brady's got to be Tom Brady, right? Which was like so
hard.
Did
you just say Mike Ferrucci?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Man show forever ago.
Yeah.
Oh wow. How about that?
Yeah,
good. I'm glad that what a room of killers you had there. You say, I've told you this before. There's no athlete who I get intimidated around, you know, or like I better be on my A game. It's the deeply funny people that intimidate me. And I can't imagine cracking wise with Mike Gibbons and the rest of them at one time you're not off on your laptop. You're doing it together like that. That would intimidate the crap out of me.
Yeah. Ferrucci had this joke that just destroyed all of us about Bert Kreischer. It was like Richard Pryor wouldn't take his shirt off if it was on fire. And we were all just kind of slayed by that, you know, like there was so much left on the table. But Rooch and Ray James really crafted that. And then Ray really crafted Belichick's script. He worked hand in hand with Bill the whole night, the whole day, like redoing it. Like I said, Bill wanted to do jokes about Matt Light. So we, and then Amendola wanted to do jokes about Amendola. Like, so we're like, all right, crack knuckles.
Well, you got the Alex Guerrero crack in there. That had to satisfy Belichick because that is the real reason for all that discord. Mm-hmm. But it's nice to hear. It sounds like it's a prom. It's a good time. Everybody's dressed up. We don't need to get into the actual ugliness. This replaces the actual ugliness. I don't get this because we like from a distance. We don't want unpleasant relationships in our own lives. But we I mean, that's why Us Weekly and People Magazine and National Enquirer and all those sell is because we like to imagine things are real bad. And this is a real ugly situation between these two. You get the sense that Belichick and Brady and everybody are kind of cool at the, and Kraft are all more or less cool with each other.
Yeah, they wouldn't have agreed to be there together if they weren't.
Interesting.
And I think that I think that the hesitation from Bill to drink the shot was just because he's not a tequila guy. You know, when someone when you don't drink tequila and somebody hands you a shot of tequila, you're like, do I really want to do this right now? Is this going to, like, you're like, again, he's thinks things through and he's like, well, if I'm going to have beer, can I have tequila first? Is it liquor before beer or beer before, you know, like
that's probably doing that. That's where Belichick and Brady probably connect on that very methodical sort of thing. I bet you that's right. I've seen Belichick throw it on real good with some Bud Longnecks.
Yeah.
But not drinking the shot.
No, he's just like, you know, like you're just like, and then I think Gronk also had him do one or something. So like, you know, maybe he's, you know, I would be hesitant, not because I didn't want to cheers my former boss, but just because I didn't want to drink.
All right. Go ahead, please.
You were going to ask me who would be the next. You asked me who I think should be roasted next. And I think, first of all, you can't do another football quarterback because we just roasted the greatest quarterback of all time. So if you can't be the goat, there can't be two goats at one position. You know what I mean? So I think if it's somebody in the NFL, again, it either has to be a coach or it has to be, you know,
too bad OJ position. Just passed. It would have been perfect.
Yeah. He would have been great. Honestly. although like, you know, a roast is kind of a redemption. It changes the conversation about you. So the conversation about Brady being a weirdo or taking Greg Olson's job, like all of that is gone right now. All the conversation now is this dude is amazing. Like, I can't believe he sat there and did that and let this happen and was okay with all of it. Like, it just changes everything. Now everybody's talking about how cool Tom Brady is. And I can't emphasize enough about how incredibly cool he was the whole time. Like, just like massive eye contact, connected, listening to you the whole time, taking ideas, taking jokes, like being like, oh my God, can I say that? I can say that. And it's like, it's great. He was like a little kid giggling in a can. It was amazing. So
next up, Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. He's a different kind of goat. Yeah. 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 He's a, yeah, the goat of massages.
I would think for real, competitive as he is, that I would, and all the accolades Peyton got from being on SNL and people saying like, well, Peyton's funnier than Brady, given their side by side SNL gigs. I would think Peyton's like, can we do me next? Right.
I don't think Peyton, you know, like you could,
he's already funny and right. Yeah.
He's already funny. And like, he's already has this like second phase of his career. It's kind of something that you do in a transitional moment. So I would say LeBron.
I was just going to say Kevin Durant. He might not rise above sports though. So he's probably like, LeBron is a cultural icon that Kevin Durant isn't, but Kevin Durant would be kind of fun in terms of like a guy who kind of could use some redemption, but you're right. There's a weird dislike of LeBron. Yeah, I guess that's the number one now that you say him out loud.
Yeah, to me, you know, because we'd love to do Jordan, love to do Barkley. Yeah. Those are, to me, in my head, like when I just think of fodder and like jokes and premises and like angles, I think Jordan, Barkley, Steph Curry, and LeBron. To me, that's it. Those are the only possible options because it's not a goat roast without those names. And I would even say that Barkley, just goat of broadcasting, maybe the greatest broadcaster of my generation, at least. I think for sure him, you know, and then if you get to other sports, then you want to do the John Daly's, the Tiger Woods, you know, people who are fun and interesting They have to be interesting. They have to have a checkered past. They have to have things that you can make fun of them about. Michael Phelps, you know,
Serena. I mean, I guess if you start thinking about who's the biggest star in the world, that and work from there. Yeah. Tiger.
Yeah. That's really all it is. But, right. But then you can go to music. You know, you got to think music, you know, actors, who's the most decorated actor, you know, these are, mm-hmm. these are the areas that they will be exploring because, you know, I don't think Otani's going to do a roast.
Otani's another good one. The good news is it sounds like you have plenty of good candidates. Now the trick is to get them to sign on to doing it. But awesome review of a great moment in Sarah Tiana's career. Congratulations to you, Jeff Ross, Mike Gibbons, Tom Brady, everybody who had something to do with it, because I think it came off gangbusters. So kudos to you. We had a bunch of other stuff we could have talked about. We'll do that next week.
All right.
In the meantime, you know, again, congratulations and thanks for the good stories there.
You're welcome. Sorry, I just over chatted, but
no, this is exactly the conversation I wanted to have. And I think it trumps anything else in sports this week. And now a quick break.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And I do have to say one nice thing about Sarah Tiana. Yeah, you're feeling it. You're in the afterglow of the big roast and everything else. You took the time on Tuesday night to drop a line to one Eddie Spaghetti mm-hmm. about his rags who were surviving mm-hmm. the Carolina Hurricanes in double overtime. And I suspect he appreciated that. But
did you
know what? We don't let him talk on the microphone. So.
He said he did. And I was also very careful to text him something that was ambiguous in case he wasn't watching the game, you know, live. I was like, how you feeling, Eddie? You know? So like that could be interpreted a couple ways.
Now, I hate to say this out loud, but I really, because now he'll curb doing it, but I really should read his texts because it is an emotional roller coaster with him. He's like, it's like the series, he'll declare when something goes against the Rangers, like the series is over. Like but you can feel not like an 8-year-old child kind of a way. You can tell like he means it. He thinks that like that penalty call or that play is so bad, it's going to flip this whole series and I'm sick now. That's the playoff watching experience.
You can read them out loud. I don't care. Going forward. Okay. I tweet a lot of this stuff too. I wear my emotions on my sleeve with this team. It's the team that means the most to me, need them to win. And even my friends and family at home are getting tired of like my do or die kind of thing where it's like, yeah, a penalty in the first period of game two. They're like, oh, I'm like, the series is over. My friends are like, you got to just stop with this negativity. I had friends in the building and they were like, this is killing me. Your texts are killing me. Please stop. So yeah, I'm getting on everyone's nerves. I try every kind of superstition to win the game. It's not enjoyable whatsoever. But yes, I've greatly appreciated Sarah's text checking in and very nice of her after
We're going to get Celtics and Knickerbockers that we get to talk about, Hench versus Spaghetti, and we're going to get Rags versus Bees, and that's going to be Hench versus Spaghetti. And then not too long down the line, we're going to get Braves versus Buccos in the NLCS, and that's damn sure Tiana. How the Buccos doing? How the Buccos doing today against the Halos?
How are they doing? Are they playing right now?
They're playing as we speak here. Matinee out there.
The Braves got swept by the Dodgers, and I think it's because I was not in town.
Five four. Oh my God, they're gonna lose to that. All right, okay, that's it. It's a great conversation, Sarah Tiana. We'll talk to you in 1 week. Thanks to the listeners. Meantime, go check out all the great content on the Extra Points Network, and talk to you sometime soon. Thin slice of heaven.